The proud defender of the American dream, Rick Smith.
So while we're mired in 25 days of government shutdown, while we're watching the train wreck, we've got Trump and the administration doing, well, what they do best, attempting to screw the American people. And again, this is another one of those moments where King Trump is attempting to bypass Congress to move forward with destroying Medicaid. And again, this is like the thing that never dies. This is like the conservative idea that never dies. The idea that we're no longer going to guarantee Medicaid funds. We're going to block grants. We're going to give the state, because the states know what to do better with it. And what block grants are is a way of minimizing the amount of money that we spend on helping poor people. And also, it's a giant slush fund for governors to hand out to, you know, corporate tax breaks and stuff like that. We've seen this movie over and over again, and yet it is rearing its ugly head. And here to share some thoughts on this latest iteration of insanity, I've got Rebecca Vallis. She's vice president of the Poverty to Prosperity Program at the Center for American Progress. Rebecca, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks, Rick. And boy, are you right. This is an ugly one.
So let's start right from the beginning. What's the plot here? What's the scheme?
Well, I got to say, you sort of set things up perfectly, because the beginning of this story is not what we learned over the weekend around what the Trump administration is planning. It's back in 2016 and 2017 when we watched Trump and Republicans in Congress start on their quest to try to strip tens of millions of Americans of their health care. And folks will remember that it wasn't just the Affordable Care Act that was in the crosshairs through that prolonged health care debate, where you had Republicans trying to pull health insurance away from as many people as possible and progressives trying to say, whoa, that's not what the American people want. And a big part of that conversation, though, wasn't actually the Affordable Care Act specifically, it was Medicaid. And so a big part of the quest on the part of Trump and his Republican colleagues in Congress as part of that effort was to end Medicaid as we know it. And one of the specific proposals that they had floated and that Americans said no thanks loud and clear to was block grants. And so that is exactly where we need to start in sort of understanding what the administration is up to. Cut to present day, you are so spot on, Rick, when you say this is Trump deciding he's going to take matters into his own tiny little hands because he wasn't able to get his cruel health care repeal agenda through Congress last year or the year before. And that is what we're watching his administration take yet another whack at doing with this new dangerous proposal.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I mean, how do you go around Congress, especially now that you have a democratically controlled House? How does he think he's just going to last time I checked, we don't have a monarch. Last time there was some balance of power. And last time I knew, Congress had the power to spend and allocate money. I'm still trying to figure out how the administration thinks that they're going to be able to just ram this through.
Well, and it's just like Trump's sabotage efforts at the Affordable Care Act. Basically, what he's doing is saying, you know what, I'm done with Congress. I'm going to bypass Congress altogether and try to do this unilaterally. So what we heard out of the Trump administration on Friday and over the weekend, Seema Verna, who's the head of Medicaid and Medicare over there, was the mouthpiece this came out of, was an announcement that the Trump administration is cooking up a plan. So we haven't seen the details yet. It's apparently coming in the next couple of weeks. But they've been cooking up a plan for trying to block grant Medicaid, which exactly as you said is just backdoor huge cuts. And we can talk about why that is. They're trying to do this without legislation. Legal advocates have already come out of the woodwork and raised their hand in droves and said, that isn't how this works. You need legislation to do something like this, but this isn't the first time we've seen the Trump administration overplay their hand massively in an effort to try to move forward Trump's cruel agenda. And this is just one more chapter in that story of what I think is probably going to end up in the courts, but in the meantime could potentially have dramatic and disastrous consequences if states start to take this up.
Yeah, I mean, one of the frames that I've heard about Medicaid, I have some conservative friends who are, you know, dead set against Medicaid because it only helps those poor, those lazy and the shiftless and those people who don't want to work. And, you know, I go, well, no, I think most of Medicaid actually funds granny in long-term care facilities and people with disabilities. You know, I know the popular frame is that, you know, there's all these lazy and shiftless people living high off the hog getting Medicaid. I just don't know that to be completely accurate. Who would block granting money to the states? Because, look, the argument is, well, this will cut down the amount of money that we have to spend. It'll slow inflation of healthcare stuff and all of that stuff. Who would be harmed by block grants?
So let's do a little bit of 101, because block grant is one of those technical kind of jargon terms that folks in Washington use all the time. It's really barely English for anyone who communicates better than folks in D.C. So let me break that down for starters, and then let's get into who this is going to hurt if it takes effect. So block granting is code for converting a program from one that guarantees coverage to everybody who qualifies. That's what Medicaid is now. If you have income below a certain amount and meet some other criteria, you qualify.
Right.
It block granting is converting it from that guarantee of coverage to a program that will effectively help fewer and fewer and fewer eligible folks over time, because it's about capping the level of funding at a set fixed amount that the states would then get. And then that amount is actually explicitly set in a way where it's going to decline over time. And so because Medicaid is a federal state program, it's partially funded by the feds, partially funded by the states. The feds pick up a set percentage of states' Medicaid costs. To block grant the Medicaid program, basically you would destroy it and force states to kick all kinds of folks off of their health care, and also to significantly reduce and cut back the kinds of services that are covered. So that's the kind of double whammy that we would see here. And just to put some numbers to this, there was analysis of a particular block granting of Medicaid proposal back during the healthcare fight that actually helped us understand how many people would be impacted. That analysis, this was a House Republican plan that former Speaker Ryan was championing, that analysis found that between 14 million and 21 million Americans would have lost Medicaid if that proposal had gone forward. That's from the Urban Institute, who actually pulled those numbers together. So that's the kind of stakes that we're talking about here. And the people who would be hurt, I mean, it's seniors in nursing homes, as you said, it's kids, it's low-income workers. But one group in particular who would be absolutely devastatingly impacted if this policy were to take effect is people with disabilities. And that's because for lots of folks with disabilities and severe health conditions, Medicaid isn't just health insurance. It's the supports and services that people need in order to live independently in their homes, in their communities, instead of in restrictive institutions, something that we saw really, was the norm decades ago, people with disabilities commonly living in institutions instead of at home with families and in their communities. And so loss of Medicaid would push people with disabilities into institutions, but also out of the workforce in droves. And that's because those same kinds of supports and services that I just mentioned also help millions of people with disabilities to work. That's what's at stake here.
Yeah, I mean, I look at this, and the first question I have is, you know, why would a state want this? I mean, at the end of the day, if you've got a situation where the federal government's picking up a percentage of your cost, you want to provide services and help to your citizens, why would you be in favor of block grants? And yet I know Mike Pence, who was a governor of Indiana, is all in favor of block granting.
That's exactly right. And I think that's exactly where this goes, it becomes another opportunity, shall we call it, cynically here, for red states to try to take up ideologically driven avenues to slashing programs that they don't agree with for political reasons. So the same way that we saw a whole bunch of states, and we're still seeing 14 states, refuse to expand Medicaid, even though it's in their financial interest, we're likely to see the same kinds of states raise their hands and say, wow, cutting Medicaid sounds good to me. They won't talk about it in those terms. That's not the language that they'll use. They'll talk about flexibility. But what flexibility really means is, right back to where you started, being able to use these funds as a slush fund instead of to fund health insurance for struggling folks.
Yeah, I mean, because we've seen this movie before. I mean, block granting is not new. I mean, this is something they've been doing for decades, and it never seems to work out as they promise, like a lot of conservative ideology. They sell us this utopian picture that, you know, in reality falls really way short. And at the end of it, a couple of people get really, really rich. And, well, a bunch of us end up dead.
That's exactly right. And, you know, I know Republicans don't like when we progressives point these kinds of things out. But this really is a life and death fight that we're watching the Trump administration continue to be on the wrong side of and to trot out in front of folks who are struggling to get by. People will die if this kind of a policy takes effect. Back during the healthcare fight, just to put some more numbers to this, because this isn't just me saying it, it's not just, you know, platitudes, the Congressional Budget Office estimated back during the healthcare fight in 2017 that more than 200,000 unnecessary deaths, meaning like people dying who otherwise wouldn't have, would have occurred by 2026. If the Senate Republican health care repeal plan had taken effect. That is what's at stake here. Some people back during the health care fight actually took to calling Medicaid cuts like block grants, this very proposal, the real death panel. And it's not hyperbole. People die when they can't access needed care.
Well, let me ask you this, because, you know, what we've set up in this country is a whole bunch of hunger game scenarios. You look at education, it's a hunger game. You know, sorry, we can't fund those urban schools because, well, we don't have the money. We're broke, we hear that. We can't fund healthcare. Sorry, you with disabilities, we can't fund that. Sorry, granny, you pay or die, that's going to be the future. What do you say to the person who says, look, you know, Rebecca, we'd love to have, make sure that everyone can stay in their home. We'd love to make sure that everyone has the care that, you know, they want to have. But, you know, we're just broke. We don't have the money. Sorry.
Well, Rick, it really just comes down to choices. And frankly, for anyone who wants to say that they support taking away health insurance from struggling workers and families, but that they were totally fine with $2 trillion in tax cuts for really, really rich people who were interested in buying a second yacht to put inside their first yacht, I say, yeah, well, that those are really misguided priorities that are also not in line with the country that I want to live in and with the country that the American people tell us time and again when they're asked and when they're polled they want to live in. Over 80% of Americans oppose cuts to Medicaid. This is the exact opposite of what the American people want, and that is why we're watching the Trump administration turn around and try to do this by fiat, sidestepping Congress and not allowing the American people to have a say.
80%. 80%? I mean, I don't think
that's
you can get
exactly
80%
right.
To look up in the sky and say the sky's blue.
Certainly not these days in the fact-free environment that we seem to be living in.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a staggering number. And again, to me, it's one of these moments where, you know, it's such a popular program like Medicare. There are such popular programs. It's amazing to me that any political party would attempt to attack them. But then again, you know, look, I go back and I remember the quote from Dwight David Eisenhower in a letter to his brother, that anyone who would come after labor unions or unemployment insurance or the farm bill or, you know, a number of, you know, very, very popular social programs, Social Security, that, you know, they'd never be heard from in our political history. He pointed out there are a couple of Texas oil millionaires, some big businessmen, but their numbers are negligible and they're stupid. Somehow stupid is running the asylum.
That is certainly one way to put it. No, you're exactly right, Rick. I mean, I think that's frankly a big part of why we've seen the Trump administration engage in these backdoor attacks on Medicaid. They know that they get hit if they call them cuts. They know that they can't use that kind of language. And so they think that they're going to get one over on the American people if they use coded language like, here, I'll throw one more at you that you and I have talked about a lot on your show, work requirements. It's another ongoing full frontal assault on Medicaid in the form of taking health insurance away from people who can't find work or get enough hours at their job. That one is actually playing out as we speak. The state of Arkansas has already stripped health insurance away from 17,000 plus low-income Americans by kicking them off of Medicaid when they can't find a job or log a certain number of hours at work or navigate the complex reporting process itself, even if they are actually working that number of hours. This is right in line with that policy in that it's just another coded backdoor attack on a popular program that was so popular, in a lot of ways, it was Medicaid that saved the Affordable Care Act. Trump figured that out. His administration figured that out. And that's why they're not letting go of the cuts that the American people have soundly rejected time and again. But they're trying to come up with new puppies and rainbows language to dress it up in to make it sound like they're doing something else.
So what do we do to stop it? What's the act? What's the call to action? Do we march in the streets? I don't see that happening. What do we do?
Well, we're going to see where things go from here in the coming days and weeks. The Trump administration has said through its Medicare and Medicaid director, Seema Verna, that it's been carefully refining this incredibly cruel and dangerous policy for weeks, probably in recognition that they realize how unpopular it's going to be once people figure out what it is. So for starters, we need to be ringing the alarm bells that this administration is not done trying to dismantle Medicaid, and this is just part and parcel of that agenda. But, you know, in the meantime, while we see where things go from here and what the proposal specifically looks like, it wouldn't hurt for folks to call their members of Congress and let them know what they think, especially now that the House is again going to be a check on Trump. And we've already seen Democrats in that chamber vowing to use their gavels, use their oversight and investigatory authority to look into this administration's healthcare sabotage.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of it, I look at this as another one of those opportunities that they've created a crisis, and now they're going to take advantage of it. While we're paying attention to the pain and suffering of the 800,000 workers and communities across this country that are being devastated by his shutdown, this they're going to try and sneak in through the back door.
You could not be more right, and it's the same people over and again who are bearing the brunt of these attacks. It's the forgotten man and forgotten woman that Trump, frankly, campaigned to fight for, or at least he claimed to. But I really hope that no one out there listening still gives that any credence or thinks that he ever meant it. This could not fly more in the face of those kinds of campaign promises.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Rebecca, I appreciate the time. Thanks for keeping us up to date. And as this continues, I'd love to hear more about how we can stop this insanity.
And someday, Rick, you can have me on to talk about good news, huh?
That would be nice. Maybe puppies and rainbows.
Oh, let's do it next time. Thanks, Rick.
Thanks so much. Rebecca Vallis, Vice President of the Poverty to Prosperity Program there at the Center for American Progress. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.